Saga Egmont presents Who Was Changed and Who Was Dead by Barbara Commins. Read by Kristin Atherton. Publisher's Note. This book was originally published in 1954. It is a historical text, and for this reason, we have not made any changes to its use of language. Of what has been, and might have been, and who was changed, and who was dead. Longfellow. Time. Summer about 70 years ago. Place. Warwickshire. Chapter 1. The ducks swam through the drawing room windows. The weight of the water had forced the windows open, so the ducks swam in. Round the room they sailed, quacking their approval. Then they sailed out again to explore the wonderful new world that had come in the night. Old Ive stood on the veranda steps, beating his red bucket with a stick while he called to them, but today they ignored him and floated away, white and shining, towards the tennis court. Swans were there, their long necks excavating under the dark, muddy water. All around, there was a wheezy, creaking noise as the water soaked into unaccustomed places. And in the distance, a roar. And above it, the shouts of men trying to rescue animals from the low-lying fields. A passing pig, squealing, its short legs madly beating the water and tearing at its throat, which was red and bleeding. And a large, flat-bottomed boat followed, with men inside. The boat whirled round and round in the fierce current, but eventually the pig was saved, and squealed even louder. The children, Hattie and Dennis, watched the rescue from a bedroom window, and suddenly the sun came out very bright and strong, and everywhere became silver. Old Ives below said,
"It's a bad thing for the sun to shine on a flood. It draws the dampness back to the sky."
The grandmother came and joined him, and they talked together in the veranda. There was a great smell of mud, and it was the 1st of June. In the kitchen, the maids pinned their skirts up high and splashed about in the water trying to prepare breakfast. Their bare legs became quite red. In the large range, a fire burnt brightly, and the flames were reflected in the water. But there was a smell of damp and cellars all around. The girls, they were sisters called Nora and Eunice, laughed as they chased a floating basket filled with eggs. Their laughter changed to screeches when a huge, crying shadow passed the window, but it was only the last of the peacocks flying from a tree to the coal shed roof. The other three peacocks had been drowned in the night, and their bodies were floating sadly round the garden. But no one knew this yet, or what had happened to the hens. As the day went on, the hens, locked in their black shed, became depressed and hungry, and one by one they fell from their perches and committed suicide in the dank water below, leaving only the cocks alive. The sorrowful sitting hens, all broody, were in another dark, evil-smelling shed, and they died too. They sat on their eggs in a black, broody dream until they were covered in water. They squawked a little, but that was all. For a few moments, just their red combs were visible above the water, and then they disappeared. Eben Willowweed rowed his daughters round the submerged garden. He rowed with gentle, ineffectual strokes, because he was a slothful man, but a strong vein of inquisitiveness kept him from being entirely indolent. He rowed away under a blazing sun. The light was very bright, and the water brilliant. Sometimes there would be a bumping and scraping.